Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Paul made it his aim, which is a surety, right? It's my aim. I'm aiming for a place to put the gospel where there's not another man's foundation that is there. That's really good advice from Paul.
Paul had a heart to take the gospel where it was needed most. Romans chapter 15 tells us Paul wanted to take the good news of Jesus to Spain, where no one had established a church. The encouragement for us today is to take the gospel and the good news of our testimony, what Jesus has done for us, to those who have never heard that Jesus died for and loves them. With Romans 15, 20 through 33, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Open up your Bible with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 15. We're going to end this chapter tonight. It will be verses 20 through 33. That is our study. All right, so let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is life-changing. It gets inside of us. It does not return back void, but accomplishes what you sent it out to do. We are amazed that your word is alive and actually does that work in us. As we take time to pore over it this evening, we pray that your spirit would be applying it to what we need. Thank you that you convict us at times. Thank you that you encourage us when we need it. Thank you that your word instructs us on how we are to live. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Paul is well into his conclusion in the book of Romans. Paul, like any good preacher, has a really long conclusion. And it is all of chapter 15 and all of chapter 16 as he begins to write things out to this Roman church that he's never visited, but he's longed to visit for so long. There are moments in Paul's letters when his heart for the work of God becomes unmistakable. And in Romans 15, verses 20 through 33, it's one of those moments. We see Paul's heart for ministry, for the people that are in Rome, the people that he doesn't know, the encouragement that he gives them. He speaks of his calling. He explains the delays and how he's wanted to be there, but the reason that he can't be there. He knows that it's God's providence. We also know that the Bible says we make our plans, but God directs our path. He's been wanting to go to Rome, and as we're going to see, and to Spain. We don't know if he ever really got to Spain. There are some who believe that he was released by Nero after going to Rome the first time, made it to Spain, then was rearrested and was executed by Nero a little bit later on. We don't really know if that ever really happened, but he had a desire, and we're going to see why he wanted to go to Rome, but especially to Spain. Even more than going to Rome. He wanted to see this church that was planted by we don't know who, planted very early on in Christianity, within the first decade, the church had started there. By the time Paul's writing this letter, the church is large. It's got Jews and it's got Gentiles that are a part of it. Now, the title of our message today is When Obedience Reshapes Your Path. When you are obedient to what God has for you, and because of that obedience, some things might happen that will change the direction of your life. God knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. God knows every decision you're going to make before you make them. But that doesn't mean that you don't make the decisions. Sometimes people are like, well, then what good is it? If God already knows and I've already made the decision, then what good is it? We're just going through cycles here down on earth. No, you're really going through life. And you're really making decisions. The fact that God knows the decisions that you're going to make, knows the outcome of those decisions, doesn't change my living life and making decisions. Things are predetermined, yes, because God, he knows what's going to happen. He knows the direction that it's going to go. He knows how he's going to respond to the decisions that I make. But it doesn't change us going through life. In other words, if I make a different decision, I can change the outcome. So what we do today is still extremely important. There are times when people will say things like, well, God's providence and his determining things to happen, it doesn't matter what I do, God's going to do what God wants to do anyway. That's just not what the Bible teaches. We have a biblical worldview. And in a biblical worldview, we are encouraged to pray, to seek God, to call out on his name, to have a heart for people, to make a difference in people's lives. And those are all decisions that we can make, do make, or we might not make them. And if we don't make them, then we just don't see things happening the way that they should. So, as I said, we're halfway through this chapter. He's in the middle of wrapping things up with them. And he says in Romans 15, verse 20, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." Now, there's a lot of good information here, even for our day, when there are 2.4 billion Christians around the world, and places like Tucson that have a lot of churches. We are, by the way, one of the least churched cities in America. Seattle has the title, or had the title a while back, of being the most least church. We're not far from that. So you can imagine most cities have more churches than what Tucson does. And when I think about churches from here, there's one down the street there. We've got El Camino Baptist down the street there. There are churches that are all around. Paul didn't want to build on someone else's foundation. That's why, even though he wanted to go to Rome, his real heart was for Spain, because there had not been a church established in Spain. And he really wanted to go and share with people who were there. The encouragement for you, if you are thinking, I really would like to pastor, I'd really like to go and start a church and see what God's going to do, it would be to find a place with a need. Find a place where there's a need for what you're going to do. There may be a lot of churches in the area. There are, in Tucson, there are only a handful of churches that will talk about the battle for the unborn. Many will not touch them. And we could take a look at their motives and say, we don't exactly know what their motives are. I don't think it's good for them not to. And I'll explain why. But it could be that they just want people to hear the gospel. So they don't want people to get upset and walk out if they are pro-choice. They just want them to hear the gospel. They'd rather have them hear it. I think that's problematic. I think it's problematic because it's kind of almost a bait and switch. You're saying one thing, and when you find out when they come to the Lord, then you're like, well, we're pro-life. Well, we're not an affirming church. Those things ought to be at least mentioned often enough that people know what they're sitting in, so when they continue on. Listen, if someone gets up and walks out because they hear that we are pro-life, and when I say we are pro-life, I mean we are pro-life. We are as pro-life as you can possibly get. We believe that the most marginalized and the largest, really, destruction of people has been the baby in the womb. And if people come in and they walk out, listen, it's God that saves. It's not me. It's not any church in Tucson. It's God that does the work. And so if they get up and walk out and God's got to do something in their heart, we may just be a cog in the link that brings them to Christ, and that might be part of it. They may have to deal with that. They may have to go through that for God to be able to get a hold of them, but I would rather them know the truth and know it up front and not be quiet about it, because we're afraid that we're going to end up scaring people away. For us, we want to know, listen, there's just a lot of churches that won't say anything. And so there's opportunities for churches to be planted that will say stuff in cities and in places. You want to make sure that you're not duplicating something that's going on. You certainly don't want to start next to a larger church just to get people from the larger church. You would be violating exactly what Paul is saying here. When he says, I don't want to build on someone else's foundation. I don't want a church that is a church because we decided to build it next to someone else and got their leftovers, as it were. You don't want a church that has leftovers in it. You also don't want a church that has discontented people in it. People that are like, that's it, I'm leaving, I'm going down the street. Because sooner or later, they're probably going to be discontented with you. I'm not saying there's not reasons to be discontented, because there are. But I'm saying sometimes there are people that are discontent as a regular pattern. And they end up moving on. And you may get excited that a bunch of people left the church and came to your church or where you started. But pretty soon, you've got a lot of problems instead of people that are helpful in what you're doing and what you're wanting to do. So Paul made it his aim, which is a surety, right? It's my aim. I'm aiming for a place to put the gospel where there's not another man's foundation that is there. That's really good advice from Paul and a really good desire for him to go to a place that's never heard the gospel. And in his day, there were a lot of them. In our day, in the United States, as I said, there's multiple churches, but that doesn't mean that the gospel is necessarily getting out in all of them, unfortunately. That's not prejudging them. That's just the case. So in Acts 20:24, it says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." So Paul is near the end of his life now. He wants to get to Rome. He wants to get to Spain. He wants to get to Rome. We're going to see. That's what he's going to get into, why he wants to be there with them. Now, this reveals the same kind of clarity. Charles Swindoll once said, "Vision is the ability to see God's presence and God's power in the midst of circumstances that look ordinary." Paul lived with that kind of sight. He was looking for what God would have him do. And we all should live with that, knowing that doors can be opened up for us to share our faith at any point in time. Sometimes in the most surprising places, we're able to share our faith with Jesus Christ. And sometimes a door just opens up and you're able to share, and it's the easiest thing in the world, and sometimes it's the most difficult thing in the world. Now in the next verse, Romans 15:21, he says, "But as it was, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those that have not heard shall understand." Now, he's quoting out of the book of Isaiah. He's saying, I want to go to where there's no foundation because it's written, to whom it was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard, they shall understand. By the way, that verse is still applicable today. We are living in a time when the majority of people grow up never going into a church. Now, I don't know what that majority is, but it's still a large number, like 54-58%. I haven't seen any studies recent on the numbers, but the trend has been for people not to come into church. And I'll talk to people on a regular basis that'll come in and say, I've never been to a church before. And my response is always the same. And the building's still standing. You made it in, and here you are. And then get more serious about, what did you think? Did the Lord speak to you? Could you feel the Lord here? Just really trying to find out what they thought when they walked through the doors of a church that they have never been in before. There are unreached people in our city who, if they've ever gone to a church, it's for a funeral or some kind of an event that's in a church, but never gone, just to go. The interesting thing is, oftentimes they have their presupposed ideas as to what's going on. And when you start talking to them, you find out that they don't really have a clear understanding as to the truth of what the scriptures are. So in Isaiah 52:15, it says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." Now, the gospel, first of all, went to Jerusalem, then around the world by Paul's day. But there's this promise in Isaiah 25:15, "So shall he sprinkle many nations, kings shall shout their mouths at him, for what he had not been told them that they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider." So the gospel has gone out all around the world, is still going out around the world, and there's a need for the gospel to be taken. Just as there's a need for people to hear in America, there's a need for people to hear around the world. In Romans 15:22, he says, "For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you." Now, if he's being hindered, that means he has planned to go. And it seems the way he responds, like he's communicated to people. Tell them when you get to Rome, maybe Priscilla and Aquila, other people that he knew from Rome. When you get there, let them know I'm on my way. I'm going to see them. But he has been hindered from being able to be there. Some of it has been health issues for Paul. Some of it has been attacks on him. When Paul was in Corinth, the Lord Jesus literally stood by him. Remember, Paul is an apostle, one of those chosen to write scripture and to be spoken to by God. And the Lord stood by him and said, "Stay here at Corinth, for no one will hurt you while you're here." Which, if I was in Paul's position and I'd suffered much for the sake of the gospel, and the Lord stood by me and said, "Stay here," I'd be like, "Well, this is where I'm going to die. If nothing bad's going to happen to me here, then I'm going to be in Corinth for the rest of my life." But he also knew that God had called him on, and he could tell when things were getting hot. And that's why he moved on from Corinth, because things were getting dicey for him for sure there. He went on to Ephesus. We don't know all the things that happened to him at Ephesus. We know that there was a maker of the idol Aphrodite that caused him problems and went into, because Paul's preaching was so effective in Ephesus that it affected the sales of these idols. And so the guild that made, the union that made these idols, ended up stirring the people up. Most people didn't know what they were for, but there's a theater that's been uncovered and you can see today that holds 25,000 people in Ephesus. They entered into that and they chanted for hours, "Great is the goddess Diana," over and over and over again. And Paul wanted to go in, but the people that were with him were like, "No, they'll tear you apart. You cannot go in." But Paul was like, "There's 25,000 people in there. I can go give them the gospel. I can make it in theater." But they would not let him go in, which at that point was probably a pretty good idea. They were rebuked by the proconsul, saying, "This is an unlawful meeting. You guys have courts to go to if you want to go to courts to deal with this stuff." And he ended up stopping that from happening. Later on, Paul writes, "I fought a lion in Ephesus." Now, some believe that Paul was saying, "I actually went into an arena and fought a lion." Others, that he's using a metaphor, that there was some kind of an attack that happened, and so he had fought a lion that was there. He made a reference to it. But both in Corinth and in Ephesus, he had difficulties and he was hindered from being able to go. Now, he makes a loop finally. This is at the end of his career. He makes a loop back up into Philippi, Thessalonica. Then he goes by Corinth, doesn't stop at Corinth, heads back to, meets the elders on the shore, doesn't go into Ephesus, and then goes on into Jerusalem. So Paul had plans to go all the way into Corinth and back into Ephesus, but those plans got changed, and we don't know all the details to why they got changed. But he had long desired to go to Rome, and he had been hindered from being able to do that. So you may be hindered in being able to do what you want to do for God. But God has you doing what he wants you to do. Proverbs 16:9, I quote this often, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. That's a good one to know. Jesus said, don't say, "I'm going to go here and there, and I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that." Instead say, "If the Lord wills, I'm going to go here and there and do that." We're giving God the right to do anything he wants to do in my life. And if the Lord wills, we'll be able to do these things. Now, Paul planned to go pretty directly, and then God hindered. In verse 23, he says, but now no longer having a place in these parts. So he's had trouble in Ephesus. He's had trouble in Corinth. This is Turkey, where Ephesus is at. Right across the Aegean Sea is where Corinth is at. He's had trouble in those places. And having a great desire these many years to come to you. So Paul has had this desire to go and see those that are in Rome for a long time. We saw last week that he told them, for you are full of goodness and blessings. He knew that he would be there with them and that he would be blessed by them and they were good. And we talked about how the Bible says no one is good but God. But the Bible also says Joseph of Arimathea was a good man. So there's different, there's nuanced things. We know next to God, no one's good, right? But Paul really wants to go and see them. He longed to see the believers in Rome. He didn't hide this desire. His heart was free to want what was good while remaining yielding to God. He believes he's going to go, but he hadn't been up to this point. He believes now he's going to be able to go. So in verse 24, he says, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey. The end destination is not Rome. The end destination is Spain. Why? He's already told us. I make it my aim to go where the gospel hasn't been preached. He wants to go to Spain because it is new ground for the gospel, but he wants to make it through Rome to be able to see and meet these people in Rome. He already knows some of them very well. He wants to meet them. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you. Now, he's asking them for some help. It might be financial. It might be physical. Paul, at this point, had some physical problems. We believe that Paul had an eye disease. Maybe he needed some help with that. Maybe he just needed some encouragement. But I think that Paul is asking them for some help along the way, and it might not be for himself. He says, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So he wants to be helped along his way. We'll see what that's about here in a moment. But he also wants to enjoy their company. He just wants to meet them, to get to know them, to have that relationship with them.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.